All right, good afternoon, and thanks for sticking around. I know it's probably been a long day for everyone. This is a great and, you know, packed meeting. So I'm going to talk today about, I guess I'm taking a higher level view than what you've just heard from Julie, and we'll talk a little bit about the relationship, you know, at a national level, very generally at a community level, between public health spending and what the private sector, private stakeholders do in terms of, you know, improving population health. And this work is joined with a colleague at Northeastern University, Gary Young, and we have nothing to disclose. So let me just provide a bit of context for this specific study. So, and you know, folks in the room probably know this, but local and state health departments traditionally have played an important role in providing essential public health services in this country. And so, of course, as we all know, and you have just heard examples, they are not the only ones to do so. So we have, you know, health centers, hospitals, providers, health insurers, schools, community nonprofits, et cetera, who also all are involved to some extent in improving population health. And so my focus has been, for the past couple of years, on studying hospitals, especially Texas and hospitals, and what they do to improve health more broadly than just focusing on an individual patient. And so if you're not familiar with Texas hospitals, they have to, under law, provide what we call community benefits, so some benefit to the broader community in exchange for the tax exemption. And traditionally, there has been a lot of clinical service, charity care, Medicaid, you know, provision of services to Medicaid patients, free services, subsidized services. But there's also a part of that portfolio that goes towards, you know, broader public health, population health type activities. And so, of course, right, I mean, if you think about some of these things the hospital could be doing, like an immunization campaign or a health fair or some kind of screening, you know, initiative, some of these things could also be done by others in the community. And at this point, maybe surprisingly or not, we know actually very little about the interplay between, you know, these different stakeholders and, you know, what they're doing, what they're spending at the national level. So we have a lot of anecdotal evidence what's going on in different communities, but we wanted to really look at this at the national level and figure out what's the relationship, what's the interplay between these different, you know, public and private stakeholders. So the framework we used for the study was the idea of crowd out, right? And that's maybe somewhat controversial, thinking about this in terms of, well, if the public sector does more, right, would that crowd out, would that reduce private investment? And, you know, we've seen crowd out, right, happening in healthcare. If you think about health insurance, for instance, right? So when you think about some of the public insurance expansions in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, right, we've seen quite a substantial crowd out. So the number of the publicly insured population rose by much more than the number of uninsured fell, because there was an offsetting reduction in private coverage. So, you know, there's been, you know, evidence of crowd out in healthcare, and we just, you know, wanted to, you know, see or use this idea of crowd out to see, you know, what it would apply to other areas in healthcare and public health. And so we, you know, use this, you know, this framework basically to look at the interplay between public investment in public health and population health and private investment. And so prior evidence in this area, as I said, is pretty limited. We don't know a lot about how different sectors work together, you know, abstracting from anecdotal evidence to a more, you know, national or maybe state level analysis. And so we did an analysis ourselves of the relationship between public and private spending on public health or population health. But at the state level, which, you know, abstracts a lot, right, which, you know, ignores some of the substantial variation in spending across communities within a state, we could not find any relationship. So this study really was designed to go a step further and really break this down more at the community level. So the specific aim was examine the relationship between governmental public health spending and private spending, specifically hospital investment in population health, at the community level, and then test this idea of crowd out, right? So would a greater level of spending by the governmental public health sector, you know, reduce hospitals' community benefit spending? So for this study, we were fortunate to have access to a lot of different data sources that we were able to, you know, merge together. So the first one, the most important one, was data on hospitals' community benefit activities from their tax filings. So since 2009, hospitals had to fill out this Form 990 Schedule H, where they provide some information on their community benefit spending activities. We added to that information about local health department from the Nature Profile Study, so that's the National Association of County and City Health Officials. They have their own survey of local public health. We added information about state public health from ASTO, and then, you know, we had additional, you know, data from the Hospital Association, CMS, the Air Health Resource File, and all the data we had was for basically the year 2009-2010. So now we could do this again for a more recent year, but at the point where we did the analysis, that was the most recent year we had data for. And so here is, you know, maybe too much detail, but here is how we derived the sample. So in this country, there's about 1,800 hospitals, tax-exempt, private, general hospitals, that file Form 990, so, you know, that tax form at the individual hospital level. So these are hospitals that are either individual, freestanding, or system, but, you know, provide this information at the individual level. And that was our unit of analysis. So we looked at individual hospitals and we merged the hospital information, you know, on the local and state public health departments plus other community information. And so you can see the sample, you know, goes down just because not for every hospital we had information on the health department, and so not for every health department we had complete information on spending. If you're familiar with the Nature profile, there's, you know, a lot of missing data. So we ended up with about, you know, 1,100 hospital, local health department, state health department pairings with complete information. And so they actually look fairly similar to all private taxes of general hospitals in the U.S. with, you know, one exception, which is system affiliation. So not surprisingly, because we only use data for those that report at the individual level, not as a system combined, our sample had somewhat fewer system-affiliated hospitals. But otherwise, you know, what we're looking at is fairly reflective of all not-for-profit general hospitals. So let me just share some descriptive results in terms of how much investment is there in terms of financial investment in population health. So, you know, here's some key figures, right? So median total spending by local health departments across, you know, the sample that we had was about $4.7 million, or about $39 per capita. You know, state health departments, you know, you can imagine there's big ones and small ones across the country, but the median spending was about $450 million, and that translated into about $70 per capita. So combined, because we adjusted for some of the double counting that's going on, that's about a median spending of $93 per capita, like across communities in the U.S. Of course, there's a lot of variation. And then tax and hospitals, the numbers, you know, for each hospital at the median, we saw roughly a $7 million in total spending. But as I mentioned, a lot of that is, you know, clinical services, charity care, you know, shortfalls when treating Medicaid patients, and other sort of subsidized clinical services. And there's only about $0.3 million at the median that was spent on these broader health, you know, broad population health initiatives. So a fairly small amount at this point. So we wanted to link these two, right? We wanted to see, is there a linkage or relationship between how much, you know, public health system does and what hospitals do. And so the first thing we did was some bivariate analysis. So we looked here, for instance, in this graph, we looked at the median hospital spending on these, you know, community health activity type services, and then we sort of stratified by how much governmental public health spends in each county, right? So these are the lowest per capita spending, you know, in terms of governmental public health spending, and here's the highest. And you see there's not really any pattern, right? I mean, there's variation, but there's not really, really any pattern. Like, you know, clear, you know, up or downward trend. Also, you know, when we did some bivariate correlation analysis, you know, same finding, basically no relationship between what the local health departments or state health departments spend and what hospitals do, either total or in terms of just the, you know, that portion that goes toward these broader health initiatives. And then, you know, sort of trying to substantiate these bivariate findings. We ran a multivariate model that's basically, you know, looking at community benefit that a hospital spends or provides as a function of government or public health spending and, you know, a set of controls. Here, you know, here's more detail, but basically it's a linear regression model. We did it twice, once for total spending by the hospital and once just specifically looking at those community or population health activities. And we include a bunch of, you know, control variables to adjust for, you know, other things like size of the hospital, you know, type of local and state health department, and community level controls in terms of, you know, the socioeconomic status, et cetera, of the community. And so the key finding really is highlighted here, which is that, you know, we saw this in the bivariate models and the bivariate findings, but, you know, there's really no relationship that we can find in our model between how much public health spends and what hospitals do. And, you know, maybe that's not surprising, but that's basically, you know, what we find here. There is, you know, some other variables that are significant. You can see here, you know, size or teaching size of a hospital, you know, is significant, you know, being in a certain location. Others have shown this, that having a state-level community benefit requirement, you know, has, you know, some association with spending, at least total spending. But for the purpose of our study, right, we're specifically trying to look at the relationship between public health or the public health side and hospital community benefit spending. There's no relationship. So that's, you know, I guess a good finding to some extent, because, I mean, if we had seen CROWDAD, would have seen a negative relationship here. So because we see nothing, it's basically evidence that there's no crowding out, right? There is not like this idea or this thing going on that, you know, higher spending by the public health sector necessarily, you know, translates into a lower investment by a hospital in public health in these population health activities. So, you know, two key takeaways, right? The size and also the composition of hospitals' community benefit spending was unrelated to what's going on in the governmental public health arena, right? Both in terms of spending and also, I didn't show the results here, but none of the other variables were significant. So, basically, nothing that characterizes the health of the public health system matters in our model for what hospitals do. Right, which is maybe surprising or not surprising, right? So, but nothing in terms of none of the financial nor the other, you know, governance, you know, size, whatever characteristic you really throw in the model, none of that mattered for how hospitals, you know, designed their community benefit portfolios. There's lots of limitations. I can, you know, talk to you more about this. I think in the interest of time, I may skip over this and just, you know, move on to the implications. But, you know, this is just, you know, a one-year study. You know, the merge process was based on, you know, location, and, you know, we know hospitals don't necessarily serve the same catchment area of a local health department, etc. So there's a number of limitations here. But maybe just to, you know, move on to what we think from our perspective are some of the policy and practice implications. So, I mean, the good thing, I guess, is we found no crowd out. So that's, you know, I guess, an encouraging finding. And if you think about that, I guess, the out of total health spending in this country, only 3% goes toward public health, and it's pretty good thing that there's no crowd out, right? We don't really want, you know, more spending in public health to crowd out other activity. So that's an encouraging thing, but the lack of a relationship, at least when you look at the funding sources, right? I'm not talking about specific types of activities, just overall funding for, you know, for these, you know, different public and population health services. There's probably, you know, gonna be, that at least raises questions, right, about the extent of communication, right? Could that be improved? And likely, you know, points toward opportunities that may exist, right, for all these different stakeholders to, you know, come together, like Julie also was describing, right, to come together and come up with a more coordinated, you know, effort and more coordinated you know, ways to you know, deal with, you know, limited resources and improve population health that way. And so there is, just to, you know, sum up, there are now regulations that these taxes and hospitals not only have to report on their spending, but also have to do this health needs assessment every 3 years, right? So there's now this sort of additional burden or additional requirement for hospitals that they have to not only do something, but ideally first assess the needs of the community and then, you know, potentially, you know, redevelop their community benefit portfolio. And so that's actually a very exciting development, because that's not something hospitals have usually done. And the most recent IRS regulations also stipulate that you have to seek input from public health in that assessment process. So it could be local public health, state public health, you know, whatever is the right partner. But basically it means that hospitals are now required really to seek out public health and other sort of community experts in the area of public and population health. And so once the hope I think is among folks is that once you've established these relationships, right, that you're doing these joint assessments, right, you are sort of in a good position to then sort of move on and do joint planning of health improvement efforts, right? Maybe some along the lines of what Julie was describing, right, moving into something that's that builds upon the strength of everybody, right, brings together resources to achieve a shared goal. And so, while we don't see, any kind of coordination, at least at the level that we were looking at this point, right, in terms of public and private investment and the interplay, the hope certainly is that, with these new developments in terms of hospitals really having to open up to the community health needs, we'll see something like this in the near future. And that is my 1-minute warning and my end. So thank you. Alrighty.